Welcome to Making Luck. It's a Minion Podcast.
Well, the hater's gonna hate, 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 hate. And the faker's gonna fake, 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 baby. I'm just gonna make, 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 make. Making Luck, Making Luck, a Dominion Podcast.
Welcome to Making Luck, a Dominion Podcast.
Yeah. And like 2E, it's Innerlands 2E, which just makes me think of the QE2. Do you know that according to something I heard, the cruise liner, the Queen Elizabeth II, is not named after Queen Elizabeth II?
That's very strange. It's kind of like how Mastermind doesn't depict me.
It's apparently named after the first ship that was the Queen Elizabeth, which was named after Queen Elizabeth I.
I'm really glad that that's been clarified. Because before, I was going around and telling everyone, wow, Queen Elizabeth II has a ship named just for her. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Actually, it could be. It could be further from the truth.
It could be further, yes.
It could be.
Like,
technically.
I'm pretty sure she has like a line on the London Underground named after her, though. They just unveiled earlier
See,
this year.
If they didn't have that, then it would be further from the truth.
But I don't think it has the second in it. I think it's just the Elizabeth line.
Yeah, but obviously that doesn't mean anything these days, because if it's named Elizabeth II, then obviously it's named after Elizabeth I, and everyone knows that.
Obviously. Welcome to Making Luck, a British monarchy podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Not great. I'm a little bit sick, but we'll power through.
I was going to say that's good to hear, but it's not, if I'm being honest.
Well, I'm only a little sick. Could be worse.
I believe you.
I've got my carbonated beverage in one hand.
Ooh.
And nothing in my other hand.
Is it,
we're good to go.
Is it sweetened with aspartame?
It is artificially flavored, but I think it has sugar.
Ooh, okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, there are 44 grams of sugar in this can.
Ooh, that's actually a lot. Whew! You're going to be feeling good, I bet.
Hey, it's and 44 grams of those 44 grams are added sugars, or 89% of my recommended daily value.
Oh, well, you should be fine, as long as you didn't have any other sugar today.
Hey, I could have another, like, 5 grams of sugar.
Hey, I mean, that sounds great. Why don't you get you, like, half a gummy bear?
Hey, I ate, like, a pizza other than this today.
And did it have pineapple on it? Because there's sugar in that.
No, but, I mean, there's sugar in the sauce, and there's sugar in the crust, and...
Well, the sugar in the crust has to be negligible.
There is, well, I made the crust myself. There was a little less than a tablespoon of sugar.
Oh.
No, wait. A little less than half a tablespoon, because that made 2 of them. So,
did you,
I don't know how many grams that is. But, no,
I don't know either. Probably,
I mean, it was cooked
probably
after
depends
that,
on
right?
the sugar.
It was cooked after that, so I think that does something to it. Oh, it's just like regular granulated table sugar.
Yeah.
Well, so you want to talk about some Hinterland second edition cards?
Yeah, there's another second edition for Hinterlands. And we had like, what, 3 days? Kind of to play with these cards, and now we're going to talk about them. So I think these are some pretty hot takes. Yeah.
Yeah. We had like 1 to 3 days, depending on which of the cards we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, the cards that were previewed on the third day, haven't played them with haven't played with them at all yet.
I think, I can't remember exactly, but I feel like I've played with about half of these cards.
Nice.
Maybe less than that. I don't know.
That's exciting. I can't wait.
Sure.
So let's just talk about the first one.
Sounds great.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a 5-cost action, attack. That's 2 types there. And it says, gain a card costing less than this. Each other player discards down to 3 cards in hand. And then there's that horizontal line thing. And then it says, when you gain this, if you have an action in play, play this.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I feel like having an action in play is basically you can't open
you
with
can't
this
open
card.
With it. Yeah.
I mean, you can, but you're not going to militia them in the opening.
Right.
Which I guess is fine. But, like, I guess it does require, like, a non-terminal action or maybe some other shenanigans for you to have an action in play. But, like, I don't know. In those cases, it seems unlikely.
You could have a terminal action. You could play a militia and then buy this.
Oh, wait. Wow, I'm really smart. Can you tell I've played with this card so many times before?
I can tell you've played with this card so many times before.
Yeah, but in any case, like, action cards are just generally better than other cards. So
mostly.
You probably, you know, it seems reasonable to think that if you're, like, hitting five and it's not the opening, that you're probably just going to be able to play the thing when you gain it. So
yeah.
That's pretty neato, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes on turns 3 and 4, you're going to have, like, a silver and 3 coppers and no actions. So, like, it's not never out of the opening, but, yeah.
But then, like, why didn't you get that fortune teller to open with, huh? What happened there?
Because then I'd be over terminal.
See, that sounds to me like an excuse.
It is. But Adam... Yeah. There's an edge case where you can get this and get the attack off in the opening when you play the Necropolis
and you have a Baker token.
Get a 5 somehow via Baker token or borrow or one of the other things that lets you get extra money.
I wonder, if you improve a Necropolis into this and then somehow have trashed the improve and have no action. Okay, never mind. Great. So I give this a 6 out of 10.
What if you just improve the improve into this? You have a...
Four cost reduction.
Cost reduction from quarries. 2 quarries.
I would imagine you don't get to play it, right? Because improve trashes, then gains?
Now that's... I mean, I think so. I'd have to go look at improve, but I think that's how that works.
All right. I'm hoping that we got all this out of our system now.
It was a great edge case to go with the 2 edges on the 2 weapons that this guy's holding in the art. What's up with that? Like, who really wields a sword and an axe? Like, I'm sure it's happened, but it's not got to be an effective fighting, like, configuration,
I thought most fighting axes were 2-handed weapons, at least the good ones.
Well, I think a lot of them are, and then... Some of them aren't, like, some of them are throwing axes or whatever, but you wouldn't be wielding a sword with it.
I mean, that's not a throwing axe that guy has.
No, it's not. It's not. I could see it being a 1-handed axe, but, like, I would think the other hand would have, I don't know, like
another
a shield.
Axe.
Or another axe.
Or a shield, yeah.
But, like, I would think the balance of this would be, like, all wrong. Also, what's it standing in front of?
Dust.
Is it like... Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It looks kind of like the atmosphere of the planet Venus. Let's move on.
just like that. I was going to say the edge case situations, you know, I mean, that's not going to be relevant in 6 months when there's yet another errata release to this card and it also improves. So the interaction will probably change. I gave it a 6 out of 10. And actually... I mean, you gave it a 6 out of 10 as well.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I usually like workshops more than you.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about that just briefly. I usually don't like workshops that much because they're really slow. But the combination of the on gain on this as well as the attack slowing your opponent down really makes me feel a lot better about picking up one of these. Because I think it's going to be a lot easier to have the time for it to pay off. I suspect you'll, or at least I, will often just get 1 copy of this. Because, like, the attack doesn't stack.
Right. And that's a lot of the value of the card, for sure.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to get 1 copy of this a lot. But I'm pretty happy to get 1 copy of it, I think.
Yeah, and I'm a little less warm on this than, like, a generic workshop because it costs 5. And it doesn't, like, gain to hand, and it's terminal and that kind of stuff. So, like, the workshop portion of this is not where what I'm excited about. I'm excited about attacking my opponent every turn and also being able potentially to attack them on a turn where I didn't start with this in my deck. I think for the kind of deck where I would want a card like this, it's going to be very good. It's going to be a lot better in those kind of decks. But I can also see just, like, not bothering with this in a lot of cases as well. But anyway, yeah, sure. 6 out of 10, Berserker.
6 out of 10.
Yeah. So next up we have Cauldron. It's a 2-cost, or no, it's a 5-cost treasure attack. It makes you 2 money. It also gives you a buy. It says the third time you gain an action this turn, each other player gains a curse. Now, there were 9 cards removed, and we're getting 9 cards for Hinterlands, and a lot of them didn't really have direct replacements, so to speak. I guess you could kind of say this replaces Ill-Gotten Gains. That's what Donald X had it with.
I mean, it's a treasure that can give curses and costs 5, so it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very different... I mean, it's different, right?
Yeah.
I think... I'm definitely happy to see Ill-Gotten Gains gone. I don't think it was I think the game's better without it.
I'm less happy, but not super upset. I'm more ambivalent.
Sure. But Cauldron is certainly not that way, and it certainly doesn't have the problems that Ig had.
Right.
Ig had the problem where every once in a while, if there was no trashing,
you just got
the Igs. And then you just start getting green cards. And if your opponent doesn't do that, then you usually pile drive Dutchies.
Right.
But I think a lot of people would just get Dutchy for 8 in almost every situation, which is not good. So now that we've talked about that strategy for a card that's gone, and we already have a podcast episode about Cauldron. So I read this card. The third time you gain an action this turn, each other player gains a curse. And I thought to myself, oh, that's never going to happen. That was my first thought.
Yeah. And my first thought upon hearing you read the card is that it would be much better if it actually cost 2.
I'm going to agree with that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think it's never going to happen, but I do want to bring up, I think there's some potential confusion that this card is going to bring up.
Yeah, the tracking for this is not my favorite.
Yeah, it's the third time you gain an action this turn, regardless of when in the turn this was played. So like if you gained 2 actions before you play this, then it's going to be the next action that you gain. If you gained 5 actions before you gained this, before you played this, you're out of luck, because you already gained the third action you gained this turn.
Rip.
So having said all that, usually that's not going to matter too much because well, usually you're going to buy most, if not all, of the actions that you're gaining.
Agreed.
And you're going to do that after you play this. So, hooray. Buying 3 actions in a turn, you can do it. And you do that sometimes, like...
Doo-doo.
Yeah, just before you're greening. Like sometimes you're building and then you get a few actions, whatever. This card though, like you're more often going to do that when you have, I don't know, something like Bridge or, you know, something like that, where it incentivizes you to gain more things because the more things you get effectively, the more money Bridge makes.
Yeah.
If Bridge is on the board, like it kind of competes with this. This doesn't, only 2 money and an extra buy doesn't particularly incentivize you, particularly on a card this expensive, to be able to buy more actions. So I think largely what you'd be looking for is either just late you can give out a few curses, which doesn't hurt so much but still hurts a little bit, or maybe you've got a workshop and you're gaining an action and then buying 2, or there's like Experiment and Port where you gain 2 of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
For a single buy. So all in all, I think it's pretty narrow, and the upside over 5 costs treasure that gives 2 money and a buy isn't huge. But I think it'll come up occasionally.
Yeah, I gave this a 4 out of 10, and if there was just a treasure that gave you 2 money and a buy for 5, I think I would probably give it a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, and I think I would probably also give that treasure a 4 out of 10, and I think the extra value here is just enough to bump it up to 5 out of 10.
Yeah, you could be right. I did actually queue up a game with a bot, and I put this card in it just so I could, like, see what happened, but it also had Death Cart in it, which is you buy
that's
a Death Cart
and
you just
in a turn.
Yeah, and it also had Traitor in it. With the new errata, the timing actually works. I think the old Traitor would not have worked, but now the new Traitor, it works. So you can actually exchange the ruins for silvers and still hand out the curse with Cauldron.
You still gained the ruin, you just then exchanged it, as opposed to if you would gain instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then there was also Basilica, and I had 6 money that turn, and I had 2 cauldrons in play. So, like, I also got 10 VP when I did all this.
That sounds pretty good.
It yeah,
also
but I
non-standard.
Yeah, I still give this a 4 out of 10. I just don't think. But I do want to. I just want to comment about this. This is a junking attack.
Yeah.
And it is very hard to junk early with this.
Yeah.
And it's also just very hard to give out junk with this.
Yeah.
And I really am enjoying seeing, you know, this and to a certain extent Idol and, you know, maybe another card that we're going to talk about here. Junkers that either you can't spam early or you don't want to spam early or it's like hard to give them junks. So often in Dominion, I've just had so many years where it's like, oh, there's a junking attack. You do this right away, and then everyone's deck sucks, and that's the game you're playing. And now we're seeing junking attacks that are not that way. And I just think that's cool.
Yeah, I feel like there's a meme in this, something like reject Mountebank, acquire Cauldrons, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I could get down with that. Anyway,
yeah, I mean,
I
it's still Coven, but it's fine.
Oh, yeah, Coven was another one. I thought... I mean, I think Coven's neato, but also...
I really enjoy Coven.
It's a little bit different because, like, they get the points,
right?
They don't get the junk, and then they get... Right. It's a completely different thing. I'm glad this design space for junking attacks is what seems to be the new norm.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Let's talk about this beautiful pupper.
From Cheers?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not from Cheers. Sorry.
Okay, great.
That's not what I meant.
Guard Dog is a 3-cost action reaction. It says, +2 cards. If you have 5 or fewer cards in hand, +2 cards. So, just for clarity there, you draw 2 cards, and then if after drawing the 2 cards, you have 5 or fewer cards in hand, you draw 2 more.
Yeah.
And then there's the horizontal line, and then under the line there's the reaction bit that says, when another player plays an attack, you may first play this from your hand.
I'm not going to lie. Up until the first time I tried to buy this card, I was convinced it cost 2. And I don't have a good reason for that.
Because it would be balanced if it cost 2.
Shots fired. It cost 3.
I hadn't said that. It's probably also reasonably balanced at 3. I don't think there's a huge difference.
There's
there.
Not a big difference. Yeah, 2, 3, and 4 are like basically the same thing.
Sure, except
leave a comment in the comment section.
They're exactly the same, except for the ways in which they're different.
Yeah, that's basically what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a defense card ish. If there are no attacks, it's just +2 cards almost all of the time, unless you're like playing a bunch of festivals or whatever first, but you know, you get to do the black cat thing if they play an attack, except black cat was when they gained a victory card, but you know, you get to play it, and then that's kind of cool because you basically get an action for it, but it's not very good against discard attacks because playing it and then having the discard down to 3, it feels pretty bad, so you probably don't play it.
Most of the discard attacks, but they've started making some where it's just like, if they have enough cards, they discard 1.
Right, but even from a 4-card hand, Guard Dog will still get you the extra cards. It has to be four or less when you play the guard dog.
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
Right. But you might want to react it just for the extra action anyway, if you're like getting soldier attacked or something.
Right, okay, I see what you mean. And yeah, that seems just fine.
But you also might want to hold it in your... there's some interesting tension there. You might want to hold it in your hand so that you draw more, depending on what the rest of your hand looks like.
Yeah. I gave this a 5 out of 10.
I gave it a 4 out of 10. I just think... I feel like Diplomat is everything this card wants to be.
Diplomat does a lot more than this. But
yeah.
It gives you two actions, but it doesn't.
And this can give you more cards, but that like kind of anti-synergizes with itself, and is like it's hard to do the thing in a profitable way. So,
you're never gonna get like the quote full value. I mean, it just has different modes. I think is the way I like to think of guard dog.
Sure,
it's different modes.
I love me to think about, oh, I play a diplomat, and then I play a bridge, and then I play a diplomat, and then I play a bridge, and then I play a diplomat, and then I play a bridge, and there's no such dream with this card.
It's just a three-cost hunting grounds. That's what the dream is.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Somehow
it's not
as exciting to me. Draw to X spice.
Yeah, it has some draw to X spice. But I guess the thing is, Diplomat is kind of similar, but draw to X, you need so many villages, and Diplomat gives you that, and this does not. So,
In a sense, yeah, if you have an activator, which, yeah. I follow you there. I think, the thing is, I look at this card, and I am excited.
Yeah.
But... I'm going to be honest with you. That has so much to do with the art. I mean, I looked at this card, and before I took like an actual good look at a decently sized version of this card, I was like, oh, is that a Great Dane? Because I love Great Danes. I think Great Danes are just some of the best creatures on planet Earth.
And in reality, it was a mediocre Dane?
I actually don't think it's a Dane at all. I took a closer look at the shape of the head. And...
Yeah.
I mean, that dog is ripped, and I do not want to mess with that dog. And, I mean, Great Danes are just so gentle that I don't think they would make the best guard dogs.
So let me ask you a question. Is there a connection between your love of Great Danes and you thinking about moving to Denmark?
There is now.
Also, next question. Do you like little pastries with some kind of a fruit jelly?
I mean, yes, but I can't. It's hard for me to think of a pastry that I don't like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, they don't call those Danishes in Denmark.
Do they call them hears?
I don't remember what they call them. But this came up in something I was looking at a while ago.
We need
them.
They reference
a different particular place.
Oh, interesting. What we need is like a version of the Great British Baking Show, but for Denmark, the Great Danish Baking Show.
There might be one.
But they never, ever make a Danish on the show.
Nice.
They'll make everything, but they won't do. Because, like, one time, this is a great story, and it's totally relevant.
Is it a Great Dane story?
Unfortunately not.
Oh.
But I needed to get, like, hamburger buns.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on the shopping list, and you know my wife was the one going to the store, and I had written Burger Baps on the list because of the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah,
they had to make burger buns, and they called them Baps.
Yeah,
and that is just I love that. I mean, that British slang is just
British slang is the greatest.
I say pita now.
Driving slang, but anyway, what? Yeah, go ahead.
I say pita now instead of pita, and like
yeah.
Whenever they do it, I want to do it. So anyway, my wife had to call me from the store. She's like, what is this?
So let me ask you the next question then. How do you pronounce the second letter of the Greek alphabet?
Beta?
Beta.
Well, I don't know. I was in a sorority in college that had beta in the name, and not once was beta said.
You were in a sorority in college?
Yeah, that's how I met my wife. We're sisters. Did you know that?
I did not know that. This is... This
so anyway,
is
the next card is Nomads.
Yeah. So Nomads, it's a four-cost action, plus a buy, plus two money. And then there's a line. It says, when you gain or trash this, plus two money. And this card is the single biggest mistake that has ever been printed in Dominion. You know why?
I'd love to hear it. Why?
Look at that art.
Okay, I'm looking at the art. It looks eerily similar in shade to the Berserker art. Slightly
it looks
lighter.
Incredibly similar to the Desert Guides art. How do you do that?
Maybe it's the same artist? I don't know.
It's not, that's... though. I checked.
Interesting. Okay.
But like, I mean, do you have that handy? The Desert Guides art?
I mean, I'm editing it. It has been edited onto the screen, so I mean, we're looking at it.
Yeah.
Our artwork should be distinct. I mean, a lot of people remember cards by their art. I mean, I remember learning cards by the left edge of their card art back in the GoCo Making Fun days. That was an important skill. I'm not actually even trolling.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I saw this the first time, and I'm like, isn't that the Desert Guides art? And it's not. Like, if you look at them side by side, you could tell they're different. But, like, they both have two camels facing to the right. Like,
yeah. So they're exactly the same thing.
And a guy riding them with a white turban. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's valid.
We should probably talk about the actual card, which is Woodcutter.
Yeah, it replaces Nomad Camp. And,
right.
And I guess if I'm looking at these two side by side, I guess I'm glad we have Nomads instead of Nomad Camp. Because I remember when Hinterlands first came out in 2011, so
hot.
11 years ago.
I'm old.
Nomad Camp and also Noble Brigand were the first cards that ever really messed with the opening splits. Like, you were getting 5-2 or 4-3, and the order, like, never mattered except for, like, when you really wanted to edge case with Young Witch, which, you know, was out by that point. But, like, then if you got, like, a 4-3, which I think had, like, a 2-6 chance of happening, and then you decided to get a Nomad Camp, You could take 40% of that, and now maybe you hit 5 on turn 2.
Right.
And that was novel, and it was cute at the time, but I don't...
Or you could get 2 cards on turn 2.
Or you could, yeah.
Which was relevant, like Fool's Gold, when... Yeah.
Yeah, which was also in Hinterlands. And yeah. Sure, I mean, that was cool back then, but, like, now we have 10,000 things that mess with the opening, and I just don't care anymore. And, like, Nomad Camp top decking itself is bad in every other situation ever, pretty much no matter what.
Hey, that's not true. I had some edge case a few days ago where it was like, I'm glad this goes on top so I can...
Oh, because there was Masquerade and you needed something bad to pass to your opponent?
No, I don't remember. It was like...
Transmogrify!
It was like I needed to gain it and then play it because I had, like, some King's Court chain. And I wanted to be able to play it right away or something. Because I was in the middle of, like, King's Court, Workshop. And then I was going to play, like, another cantrip. And it's like, I want to play the Nomad Camp earlier in my turn. And it was, like, a half of a millionth of a percent of value.
Wow, that's so good.
Yeah.
I wonder how much value we're going to get out of this gain and trash ability from Nomads.
Probably more.
Yeah.
Just because
it's not a downside pretty much ever.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing going for it is that, like, when you're buying it and something else on the same turn, it effectively costs 2. There's probably edge cases against that, but
that's
like,
so neato.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed. I think this is boring. Like,
Donald
X actually used, when he was describing this card, he said this was an exciting card that ended up not making allies. He used the word exciting to describe this card. This is the least exciting Dominion card I've seen in a really long time. Whatever the opposite of excited is, that's what I am about this card. And, like, sure, I think it's better than Nomad Camp, but geez, like, there are cards, I'm gonna start ranting now. Yeah. Like, there are not many cards that had direct replacements, and I even took some liberties to get 3 out of the 9, okay? Yeah. So, like, I'm comparing this new card, Nomads, to the more favorable of the cards that are getting eliminated from the set that we're going to talk about at the end of this. And, like, why the f*** do we have Nomads? Why do we have this card instead of those other cards that did nothing wrong and were fine and were good for the game?
Honestly?
That when you said this is a mistake, that's what I thought you meant.
Oh,
not
no,
the artwork,
I was actually
but
talking
the fact
about the art.
But the fact that I'm going to have to pay money and trees are going to die to print this card. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, so like with trash for benefit, the trashing thing might come up, I guess. But like, is that really a hoop you want to jump through? I don't know. Like if you just like need to gain a 4 cost because it's on your way in your remodel chain or something, I guess it's nice to have the extra money.
Oh.
But
I was thinking that like your workshop makes you $2 on a certain turn. Like you have the option of gaining this bad card to make your workshop gain give you $2 on a turn. I think that's the main like fancy thing.
Oh yeah, it's probably the main fancy thing. I think the main thing is the cheaper when you're getting it with something else.
To me, that's fancy, but I don't know. Okay. Now we can argue about the definition. I give this a 3 out of 10.
I give it a
4 out of 10. What I gave Woodcutter.
It's plus buy. Man, I much prefer Woodcutter's design over this because it's
agreed.
Simple. And like I think there's value in simplicity and elegance and all those basic cards that are suddenly evil. We can't have them because we're trying to make 500 different cards and have people keep buying them. So we have to make everything more complicated. Anyway.
I'll go ahead and say it now. This one feels that way. The other second editions didn't feel that way. This one feels that way.
Should we move on?
Yeah. I'll rant at the end when we're talking about the cards that are gone.
Great.
So this next one is Sook. It's a 5-cost action. It gives you +1 buy and $7. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, and then -$1 per card in your hand, and you can't go below 0. Slight downside. And then it also says, when you gain this, trash up to 2 cards from your hand. There's a number of things going on here, and I think by far the most significant thing about this card is the name Sook. I think that's cool, because I think the coolest non-merge tribe name in Survivor history was from Season 5, Sookjai, which wasn't spelled this way, but Sookjai is just such a cool name for a tribe, and it's like the best part about that season, because that season really sucked. And and now I mean this is going to be Sookjai every time I talk about it.
See, whereas it makes me think of a different television program, Seinfeld.
Oh yes,
no Sook for you. Which I you're contractually obligated to say when you get that card from the new Prosperity, was it War Chest, where you get to deny them a card costing up to 5 that they can't gain off of it.
All right, that's pretty good.
And yeah.
All right, you know what? And if you don't do that, you automatically lose the game. So don't let that happen to you, listener of Making Luck, a Dominion podcast.
Yeah. So I think this card is good.
Okay.
So, I know. Let's get the ratings out of the way first on this one, so we can preload that into our discussion. So I gave it a 7 out of 10. You gave it a 4 out of 10.
I did. Yeah.
That's a pretty big difference.
I talked you down from 8 already, so
yeah,
we're doing okay. Yeah.
So I think we probably mostly agree on the value of the above the line stuff. It's if you're not drawing anything, it's like a
$3.
Free money and a buy, right? Usually, sometimes it's a little better because you have like a festival or a patron. Once you start to draw at all, then it starts to get like quite a bit worse. Like if you just stick some labs into your deck, which are, you know, usually good cards, then then like this doesn't work as well with that, right?
Which and also, when you gain this, you also gain 2 labs.
Yeah, so that's where I was going to go to. So, like, the 3 money and a buy is fine but not exciting. Worse than 3 money and a buy on a terminal is not
starts
exciting.
To look like Ruin Market, and that's really not good. Or even Ruin Market with a downside in the worst of cases.
I think occasionally, like, it's not going to be that rare that you get to the point where, like, oh, I'm drawing my deck, and I thinned a bunch of stuff out of it, and so it's, like, back to making me three or four money or something, because I only have a few treasures and green cards. But then you have to worry about, by the time you're greening, then it gets worse, and
It seems like a really sexy play to, like, have your $5, and, you know, you get this, and you trash your chapel, and then you play this, and you only have, like, two silvers and a copper in your entire deck, and now you have this. And it makes you, what, like, four money in a buy, and you get, like, nine money and two buys on your next, and your chapel's, like, that seems really sexy. Like, that, the tactical Sukjai seems, like, that seemed pretty decent right there.
So, I also want to talk about it tactically, because I think the main difference in where we, and where we're valuing the card is that the value of the on-game trash effect.
I would agree.
Which sounds so good to me.
It makes sense that it would, because trashing cards rules. And also, like, trade, we've had that for a while. And, like, you know, you hit five, and then you trash up to two things.
Yeah.
Right? And something good happens to you. And like, trade is fantastic. Yeah. Right? I want to trash two bad cards, and I want to put two good cards in my deck. And, you know, in this case, you're putting one card that we can debate how good it is once it's in your deck. But, like, I'm not going to deny that, like, that effect can be absolutely great.
Yeah. So here's where I'm thinking about on the trashing effect, right? A couple things. So, like, you're so happy if you wake up on turn three or four, and this isn't going to happen too often, but, man, will it feel great when it does. You have five money in your hand and two estates, and you're like, I win the game.
You're like, oh man, I need a cigarette.
I have never felt that I needed a cigarette.
I've never felt that way, but I like to say that.
Okay.
Because it's the irony.
Don't smoke, kids. It's bad for your health. It could kill you. It could harm others. Don't do
it. Thank you. It's really, it's disgusting. Anyway.
It is really disgusting. Great. apart from that, so that's not going to happen on turn three or four very often, but I think you can get a trash two in on one or two of turn kind of three, four, five, six reasonably often. And I kind of think of it in terms of, well, so either it's the only trashing on the board or it isn't, right?
This is the only trashing on the board. Whew. I mean, you said some things about Crystal Ball that I would say more strongly about this.
So if this is the only trashing on the board, I don't think I'm going to be, like, trying to get thin, because this ain't going to work for me.
Right.
Because, like, I don't know. You could probably contrive a scenario where this is the only trashing on the board, and somehow it makes sense to try to trash with this. But, like, it's going to have to be real contrived, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the only trashing on the board, I think that getting one or two of them just to get a couple of the estates out of my deck and basically play a money deck after that, I think that's going to be pretty strong. Like, I'm not really thinning. I'm just getting a little of the really bad junk out.
I'm going to agree with that other than using the words pretty strong to describe it.
Okay.
I would say, like, halfway decent. That's what I would use to describe it.
It seems pretty strong given power level of a board where you can't thin to me, but
thin and draw and or draw. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So then if it's not the only thinning, there's other thinning. And depending on the nature of how good that other thinning is, I think this could still be good.
Sure.
Or not. So, like, if it's chapel, then, I don't know, maybe the scenario you talked about comes up where you use this to get a chapel or something.
It's great for blowing up your chapel. And you put get a plus buy in your deck. I mean, that seems more than halfway decent. That seems actually pretty good.
And that's fine. Yeah. But I also think, like, if I think about, okay, I have five, hit five, and it's turn four or something, And they're sitting, staring at me, is a junk dealer. Maybe it's turn five. Right? I could get a junk dealer. Just
slam that junk dealer so hard.
Or I could get this card and trash two cards. I think I want to get this card and trash two cards.
I mean, I would absolutely get junk dealer or even crystal ball over this in that situation.
And then I think I would get the junk dealer later. And I feel like I'd be ahead on my trashing.
Yeah. Because... And then when the trashing is done, it may be roughly time to go with the Souk Jai.
Oh, so no. I think I get this first, and then I get the junk dealer. Because this will trash me two first, and the junk dealer won't trash me two till after I've drawn it twice.
Okay, I don't agree with that.
Like, I could be wrong here, but that's what I'm imagining in my magical fairy Christmas land head.
Okay.
So we'll have to see how that works out. But try it out. Leave a comment in the comment section.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to be really hard to line up two cards that you really want to trash and hit five without some kind of draw, similar to trade. Right, if I really want a trade to work, I'm looking for like Witch or Smithy or something in the kingdom that draws me cards. I mean, Witch was particularly good because it means you're going to have curses that you want to trash too.
I think that it's hard to do super early, but after that, like you just shove some silvers in your deck. I mean, it depends on what you mean by you really want to trash. Like, I think it's going to be kind of hard to get it with two estates or curses or whatever. But it's not going to be that hard to get it with, like, an estate and a copper,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super thrilled to trash a copper to this.
And I'm not super thrilled, but I'm happy enough. Could
do it. Like, yeah, I would definitely do it. But, like, I'm not going to... If I really want to get the value out of this, I need to... I want to be trashing two of those like estate copper kind of level cards more than estate curse level cards, copper. And right. And that distinction's important to me because if we're talking about how valuable that trashing is going to be, you know, you do have to gain a Souk Jai along with it.
Yeah.
So if that Souk Jai is not a particularly good card in your deck, then that thinning two cards starts to look a lot closer to thinning one card.
Right.
Right. And that's sort of where I value it in my head. If I'm going to be having a deck that draws cards and is going to be able to line that stuff up, which is what I would expect to have to do to get to have a reasonable chance of this trashing being good, that kind of deck doesn't want a Souk in it very badly. Maybe one, probably not so much. And so, like... Yeah. The value of this is more along the lines of like a Ducat where you trash un bad card from your deck. Maybe a little better because copper is better than an estate or whatever. But still, not so much a trade level.
Yeah. This is, trade, you're not actually thinning any stop cards.
Yeah, but silver's a really good card that I'm happy to gain in situations when I'm drawing a lot, so...
Yeah, I mean...
The comparison is not perfect, I'll admit.
The trashing, and maybe because, like, you're thinking about this in decks where you're drawing a lot, and I'm not. it's just not even in my mind, because it's like, oh yeah, I don't want it there. And you're like, but I don't want it there.
You're a lot higher on, like, putting silvers in and hitting five that way and getting value out of this trashing or without drawing a bunch of cards.
Things which are similar to silvers, like, you know, silver or peddler or patron or whatever.
Yeah, or fortune teller.
Probably not fortune teller.
So that's going to be my... anyway, yeah.
It's pretty hot, though, with, like, patron or festival and stuff, too. There are a couple of synergies, I think, worth mentioning. The one super hot one was Way of the Chameleon.
That one seems real great. yes, let me draw seven cards.
It basically at that point is plus a buy, draw seven cards, lose all money in your pool.
Yeah, and I'm when I'm drawing seven cards, I care a lot less about losing money that I played in my action phase. Yeah, like that's, that sounds great because like you can chameleon that money most of the time, right?
Right. And then
so you're doing yeah. good.
Yeah. So that's like the wombo combo. And then there's some other synergies. It's I think it's a good defense, like especially if you're playing a money deck, but it can be a good defense against discard attacks. Like yeah. a money deck that gets militia'd finds it real hard to province. With this card, not so hard at all.
You need like a silver and a copper in hand yeah. with your souk, and that's right. a province.
Out of, once you out get of five cards, right? Yeah. Not that hard. So that
seems decent.
That's a nice roll. You have stuff like capitalism, where you can play all your treasures first and then this, and make yeah. some more money. Yeah, I mean, there's probably other little synergies you can find for yourself, whatever.
Yeah, and like if we're gonna talk about like, oh, draw to X with your disappearing village, and then you right. disappear the village, and you play this, and then you draw back. Good for you. I mean, yeah. draw to X, that's just not. Good.
It will come that's up non-never.
Yes.
It's not frequent.
Yeah. That's these other things I can recognize as being decent and not yeah. that.
Yeah. Anyway. So, anyway, I think I value the trashing more. I'm thinking about it in drawing decks less, and that's probably the difference, but we'll have to see how it plays out to figure out how good it really is.
Next up, we have Trail.
Trail is a four-cost action reaction. It says, plus a card, plus an action. Wow, what an original card, Adam. Oh, there's a reaction part, too.
Mm.
So it says, when you gain trash or discard this other than in cleanup, you may play it.
Yeah. So I gave this a 6 out of 10. I have never played a game with this card in it before.
I gave this a 6 out of 10. I have never played a game with this card in it before.
I mean, on paper, it looks like a cantrip.
And it is.
And if you can't find synergy with it, that's what it is.
You know how sometimes I decry do-nothing cantrips?
Yeah. And
this is a do-nothing cantrip.
Yeah, it's just that there's so many opportunities for synergy.
Yeah.
Right, if you have something that gains this in an action phase where that card in action is going to be useful to you, right. then I mean you just slap on cantrip to whatever gainer that was, and you're very happy.
Well, like okay, so I actually want to talk about this. Like if you just workshop for this, it like I don't want to put a workshop in my deck just to do that. It's what it is. It's nice if I might want the workshop anyway. And then I can choose for it to cantrip for me.
Yeah, it's like but, lurker for rats.
Yes, it's like lurker for rats. Right. Oh, there's the option. Although lurker for this also works.
Well, right. It's better than lurker for rats because like workshop for trail gets you out of terminal collision, and lurker for rats just I mean was always non-terminal even if you
right.
lurkered something else.
Yeah.
So
sure.
it's better than that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it makes Ironworks into a village. But by the way, this is a village. This is
yes.
the village.
So if you're comboing much of anything with it, it's very often going to be a village, right? If you play a warehouse and discard this, boom. Well, first of all, you're up cards compared to the warehouse. Otherwise, even if you just discard one of these, then it's like a forum, right?
Yeah, I was thinking. I think the good comparison in my mind is like Oasis plus this, and Trail is now like a lost city.
Yeah, compared to yeah, and the combination yeah. of them is like a bazaar.
Yeah, with a little bit of sifting. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Maybe it's not. Is it? It's not like a bazaar. Whatever.
It's a bazaar with a little yeah. bit of sifting. Yeah.
It's kind of sort of like anyway, whatever. So but you get the village effect even if you just discard this to a non-terminal, or if you discard more than one of these even to a terminal. So if you like play storeroom or vault, you discard two of these, hey, you've got yourself a village there, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like Village Green in that sense where it always it's
yes.
if you have the choice of playing it versus discarding it, well, of course obviously you're going to discard it, but you know, getting an extra effective action from discarding your Village Green instead of playing it was, I mean, it was sexy, but it's sexier with Trail, because Trail wasn't a village until you did that.
Right. And then trash for benefit. Like, if you remodel a trail into a trail, it's like you've played a village.
Yeah, so here's my question. If I trash this card, it says to play it. Does it go into my play area?
Yes.
And then it still is mine.
It stays yours. Yes. Uh-huh.
So it's kind of fortressy that way a little bit, although you can only do it once per trail.
Yeah.
But it's kind of neat.
it's kind of like Fortress Junior meets Village Green Junior.
If Fortress and Village Green had a love child, it wouldn't be a village. Well, it is a village.
I mean, but this is a village in so many cases, right?
Right.
And then the game thing, yeah, like for workshops or whatever, but I think that's the least exciting of them, honestly, because, I don't know, it's just like, yeah, okay, so my workshop is a cantrip, but, like, if I got workshop,
gains you a trail.
Have it be a cantrip. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if it has another class of synergies along with your workshop, then you're definitely more excited to be gaining this.
Or just to have, I want my workshop for something else, but then, like, I wake up with Terminal Collision. It's nice.
Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, you can say when you have any of this class of synergies, which has to make up like half of all Dominion or something like that. I'm not going to do the math, but that's my guess.
It's way over half of boards.
55%.
No, I think it's like
Kingdom Cards and Dominion.
Oh, not of cards, but of boards.
Which, like, yeah, I mean, it seems like you're going to see one most of the time, right?
Yeah.
So if you have that, then you have this thing that's like a village and draw, potentially. Like, you could get Lost City value out of this thing, and, like, even maybe a little fortune. But the thing is, in order to do that, not only do you have to put this thing in your deck, but you also have to draw it with that synergy card.
Yeah.
Right, except for the workshop. All you have to do is draw the workshop. But, like,
sure.
You have to draw this with the thing that discards it, with the thing that trashes it. And so that is a mark against the card, for sure. It's a mark against the card. You either need a lot of these and a lot of those, or you need to thin. And so that's the thing you have to do.
Yeah, and before you jump for the synergy, like, you have to think about, okay, so at the end of the day, how valuable is this, really? Like, oh, so I remodeled the trail into another trail. I started with a 5-card hand. I end up with a 5-card hand, and I get an extra action. So is that worth it? Like, do you really want to do all that work to get a village? I mean, maybe.
Maybe you do, yeah. I mean, villages are great, but
like a lot of times you could have just, you know, bought a village. And then
played your remodel on something bad and gained something good, you know.
Or not gotten a remodel to start with and gotten something else. Like,
oh, hush
silver.
Your mouth. Oh, wait. Well, silver, okay, you don't have to hush anymore. Silver's a really good card.
So, yeah, just consider, like, okay, so the synergy is there, but at the end of the day, how much does it get me? Sometimes it's going to be a lot, sometimes not so much.
Yeah, sure. Just do the math, you know?
Look
at the category of synergy you have and figure out what it actually does for you, and then...
And compare that to the other options, and then figure out what you want to do.
That's like all of Dominion, or really all of life, when you think about it.
For certain values of, like...
So, Weaver. Weaver is a 4-cost action reaction. It says, gain 2 silvers or a card costing up to 4. And it says, when you discard this other than cleanup, you may play it.
Yeah, that's a part of the same reaction from Trail.
Yeah, it's got the tunnel reaction.
Or the Faithful Hound reaction, or the Village Green reaction.
I wouldn't say the Faithful Hound reaction. Eh, it is the Faithful Hound reaction. That dog's so freaking cute. Anyway, Weaver. So I looked at this card, and I thought, this is Groom, only it's blue. And also, the person on the artwork is not nearly as attractive as the Groom artwork.
Hey, speak for yourself.
That guy looks amazing.
Unless you're talking about the horse.
I never specified.
Okay. A horse is a horse, of course.
Most of the time, yeah. So, this has a lot of similarities to Groom, right? And I gave Groom a 7 out of 10, and for that reason, I'm giving Weaver a 7 out of 10. Because at the end of the day, I just don't think it's appreciably different enough to justify giving it a different number.
I think it is. I give this a 4.
What did you give Groom, by the way? When I tried to look up your rating, it wasn't there.
Oh, I don't remember, but I would give it, I don't know, probably.
More than a 4.
At least a 7.
Nice. Okay. So, yeah.
Like 7 or an 8, maybe, probably like an 8. Groom is so good.
So the difference, in our opinion here, it doesn't seem to come down to like, oh, I like workshops more than you. I think there might be a little more to it.
I mean, I think that is a big part of it.
Agreed.
I'm also just like, I'm kind of a Groom stan. So like, I like Groom a lot more than the other workshops.
I mean, that art, honestly. I think the comparison to Groom, though, is a lot more direct. So like, I've been kind of waffling on this.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you want silver, you get two of them, and that's what Groom does. So, like...
Yes, that's the case where it looks really the same.
Right, and also, you can get another card costing up to 4. And, like, sure, if you got an action card, Groom gave you a horse. And if you got a victory card, then, you know, Groom gave you a card and an action.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing is, this is a reaction, and so if you played this card with the reaction... then that's kind of like getting plus one card and plus one action now. So it's really not that far away from gaining a green card. Because you could just choose to gain a green card or really whatever card you want. You have a different requirement to get the card in the action. But it's still kind of there, right? Kind of, sort of. So it's not that far away.
Yeah. So I think this is where the difference comes in. And it could be that I'm writing off the reaction too much, because like there are a lot of things that discard cards, which will make this better.
For sure.
I just like in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, but I don't want to build my deck around that and this. And maybe when I think that, that's wrong. I do want to build my deck around these things.
I mean, maybe now with Hinterland's second edition, maybe you do, right? I mean, Trail is super great, and this thing seems pretty great when you do that.
Sure. I just like... I mean, it depends on what the thing is that's discarding it, right? Like,
wait, I don't want to...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I'm not going to play around... Jack of all trades discarding this, like,
right?
Not...
Yeah, that's not even what I meant. But like, I don't think I want to add a bunch of sellers to my deck so that I can get seller and this going.
I'm not going to build the Sycophant Weaver deck and think that I'm doing something amazing, right?
Yes, exactly. That's going to come up at some point, and when it does, leave a screenshot.
I hope the favors are good.
Comments.
Hope those are some good favors.
It's there's Gardens and Weaver and Sycophant
and Island Folk.
The extra turn. Yeah, Island Folk. And you just do a super rush because you get the extra, and Weavers gain more Weavers and Sycophants, and then it still loses badly.
I was waffling on the rating to this card because, you know, how it's got to be harder to discard this with a meaningful synergy that isn't forced than it is to play a Groom and want to gain a victory card. But then, like, is it? Because, like, Silk Road is gone.
Ugh!
How many Silk Road, or how many Groom rushes are there left? Like, there's Gardens, like, Mill, Island, does that count? I don't know, probably not. Tunnel, no?
Well, so, like, you don't even have to... But the part of the thing with that is you don't have to rush, right? Like, oh, with Mill or with Island, just Groom gaining them is really good, even if you're not doing a rush thing, right?
Because they're multi-type and you get the bonuses, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cemetery. Of course, this is pretty good with Cemetery.
I mean, these are both amazing with Cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't appreciably worse with Cemetery, I don't think.
Yeah, so I guess the synergy is there. It's probably stronger with Groom. I'll give it to you. But also, like, you're not tied to discarding this and then gaining necessarily a victory card with it.
Right. But here's, I think, the bigger difference than the victory thing, which, yeah, is a plus, but mostly is like, in most games, it's going to be like a nice tiebreaker just at the end, whatever. Like, oh, I'm going to gain some estates on my last shuffle.
I suppose. Yeah, sure.
Whatever. Right. Which is a plus over this, but it's not, oh, this is game breaking.
It's not, I think, like, I would give it a number higher just based on that, right?
Right. I think the bigger difference in my mind is usually I'm gaining actions.
Yeah.
And Groom gains a horse, which is like, really nice.
And like discarding this and getting to play it, I think, is better than gaining a horse. But the horse is just going to be a lot more common.
But the horse is just there, and you didn't have to work for it.
Right. And you don't have to jump through the hoop. And right. So, like, sure. I mean, I would probably say Groom is probably a little better than this, but I don't know. Not enough to give it a different number. And as far as, like, comparing to other workshops, like, I think gaining two silvers is quite good.
And
both
I
for Groom in this.
Don't. Like, I think it's fine, but it's not usually what I want to workshop for.
I would say it's quite
a nice
good.
Option. It's a nice option.
Yeah.
I think that's
a lot of where the disagreement
is. It's largely about, apparently, it's largely about, like, how often are you going to be discarding this profitably? And for some reason with this card, my mind is like, when am I really going to do that? Whereas with, like, some of the other ones, like Village Green or something, I'm like, man, I can do that all the time. I don't know why. I don't know why my brain processes them differently, but it does.
I think it's because when you discard a Village Green and you play it, like, it's really stinking good, you know?
It's probably because, like, Village Green is like a village, and I'm like, man, I want a village in my deck anyway. And this is like a workshop, and I'm like, man, I don't like workshops.
Could be. I mean, I legitimately think that, I mean, that has to be part of it. I don't know.
I think it is. So we'll see. Probably it's somewhere in between. Jake would rate this as a 4.95. No, it was a...
Or he would say it's either a 4 or a 7. That's what he would say.
No, he would say it's... Sometimes it's a 2 and sometimes it's an 8. It just depends on whether there's a good discard effect.
Yeah.
No, but that's not the same thing as a 5, okay?
It depends on your rating system, which is definitely a concrete thing that everyone takes exactly
objectively verifiable.
Yeah. Wheelwright.
Wheelwright the ship. No, a wheelwright.
Oh, wheelwright, yes.
It's a 5-cost action, and it says, plus a card, plus an action. You may discard a card to gain an action card costing as much or less. Now, I just want to make a comment that I just, when I was reading this just now, realized there isn't the weird extra comma in this.
Ooh.
I so appreciate that. So many of these other cards would have a comma after the word, after the discard a card thing.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a comma there. I'm so glad there's a comma there.
We need to post in the Donald X interview thread asking him if he's changed his stances on commas. We need to know. The world needs to know.
So yeah, this card excites me.
Yeah? You gave it a 7 out of 10? I gave it a 5 out of 10? Why does it excite you?
Because I see some magical Christmas land fairy tale scenarios where I have some overdraw. And like, I have, I don't know, like 2 or 3 cards of overdraw or something. Which is... you know, more than you usually have, but I don't know that it's that much than you usually have.
Yeah, a little bit more than norms, yeah.
And so I have one of these, and I play it, and like, so I have a lab, or it doesn't have to be a lab, it could be a stables or a hunting, but there's a lot of cards like that, right?
Or, yeah.
And I play this, and I discard that card, and I gain another one of these, and then I redraw. And then I play another one of these, and I discard that card again, and I gain like another lab. And then I have overdraw, so that's like probably the end of this turn.
But you just gained a lab and you drew it, so you can like auto pile the labs.
So then next turn I have like four or five cards of overdraw, and I can just start going to town, getting a ton of these and more labs. And then like two turns from now, I can get some payload, because I have a million cards of overdraw.
Yeah, just buy a bunch of coppers, you'll be fine.
No, I mean like I can discard the extra actions to get... Like you
some
do
kind
need
of action card payload, yeah.
You do probably need some payload that's better than like just silver for that to
well,
be worth it.
Well, it doesn't work with silver. You can't gain silver with this.
Right. Like yeah,
you gotta get a patron or something.
Yeah. Fortune teller. You probably would like it to be better than patron.
Fortune teller.
Better than fortune teller. Like oh. I don't know, like market or Bizarre. Bridge troll or something. I don't know.
Or highway.
Yeah, which but is getting an errata
now.
Yeah. Hot. But like I just think like your deck I think about that scenario and think, wow, my deck really explodes and just vaporizes piles over the course of a couple turns. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think about that situation and I'm like, you know, if I got a province, I could discard the province to this and gain any action card I wanted except for possession.
Or,
No, I can gain a scrying pool. Don't tell me what I can and can't do.
Okay. Fantastic. But what about transmute? Oh, you said any action card you wanted. Got it.
Yeah, right. Except for possession. So I just think... I think that's where mine went when I got this card. And, like, if I'm thinking about, like, overdrawing and I'm going to use this card because I'm overdrawing, like, first of all, I need some particular things to be there for me to want to gain with this, right? Which I guess is a reasonable amount of the time, but, you know, isn't 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And I suppose that, you know, if you're going to discard a fiver or you're going to discard a province, okay, sure. It's not crazy to think that, you know, you'll probably be able to gain almost any action card you want, regardless of which one of those you discard. But, like, I don't feel bad discarding a province, and I feel bad discarding a payload fiver from my hand when what I want to do is gain another payload fiver, you know?
Right.
So, I
would
want a green earlier.
Overdraw, right?
So you can draw it all back.
So that I can still play the thing. Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I had a similar original thought. I thought, oh, so you could discard your provinces. And then I thought, when am I getting this card in that scenario, right? Like, I don't want to get this card, like, four turns before I province, because it's not doing anything. And then by the time I'm provincing... Don't I just get the province? And, like, when am I gaining this card? So that's why I didn't think that was going to come up too much. I mean, sure, it will some.
I'm thinking, you know, you get this.
Yeah.
And then, like, once you get the province, you're discarding your province to this, and you're gaining, like, a lab. And as you're greening, you're having province plus lab turns. I mean, that seems pretty decent, right?
Sure. And that could come up. I just think, like, most of the time... In that scenario, like if I get this too much before I'm provincing, I would have rather had whatever other card. And sure. If I'm getting it after I'm provincing, I mean, like maybe I get it on a dud, like a turn where I miss eight or something. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to time in that scenario.
Sure. I mean, I don't really disagree with anything you're saying. I think that the Christmas scenario is, I don't know, it seems like you're thinking that's going to come up more than I do. I don't know, I've played like two or three games where this was in the kingdom, and it just didn't seem that good because it didn't have the right support.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just pessimistic on it because a couple of bad rolls. I don't know. I've never actually bought this card.
I don't know. I haven't actually played any games where this card was in the game, I don't think.
Oh, neato.
But sometimes it's going to do, like, nothing, and you're just going to be like, ah. But I just think, like, if you can draw, you can usually overdraw. And I think when this card is around, you're somewhat incentivized to do that.
Well, we're going to find out who's right.
And
next time.
Left. Yeah. And what is left is the last card we're going to talk about today.
That was a really good one.
Did you like my Sigui?
That was so good.
I know it's not pronounced Sigui. Don't leave a comment.
Leave a comment. If you already left a comment.
Go delete that. No. But leave another comment. Did you know I did that once in a video where it was like right after Allies came out, and I was like just spectating some random games, and it was Clashes or something. And so somebody had a Warlord in play, and I was commenting, I'm like, why didn't this player play this card? That just doesn't make any sense to me. And then like 2 or 3 minutes later, I was like, oh, I know, it's because there was a Warlord in play and it was against the rules. Ha ha. And then I'm like, I bet somebody's already made a comment in the comment section saying, oh, this is why. And you didn't wait until you watched the end of the video to make your comment, didn't you? Ha. And then somebody made that comment, and then like a few minutes later they then replied to their comment, oh, and I got called out for it. Nice. I felt so good. But Witch's Hut is a 5-cost action attack. It says +4 cards, discard 2 cards, revealed. Oh, we're back to the extra comma. Yeah, this one's not so bad. If they're both actions, comma, each other player gains a curse. That nice. Comma is definitely necessary. So yeah, 4 cards, discard 2. You have to reveal the 2. Woohoo. And if both of them are action cards, then you get to give a curse out, or you have to give a curse out.
It's required.
Be some case where that's bad because
you want to discard 2 actions, but you don't want to give out the curse.
Yeah. Right, because it would, I don't know, score them a museum point, or would empty the curse pile, or you know, they have a crater in hand, or
edge
something.
Edge case with Wandering Winder.
So this card replaces Embassy, even though it was said that it replaced some other card. It doesn't replace that card. It replaces Embassy.
Let's be real. Who knows, really? Like, I don't know. Embassy's gone, and we have this card, and I don't think they're – whatever. They're right here on your screen, but I don't know.
I think they're pretty similar.
I have a problem with this card.
Yeah?
Because, you know, we had Young Witch, and we had Old Witch, and then we called Witch Medium Witch. And then we got a Sea Witch.
Right.
And I was really hoping that we would have, like, a B-Witch card.
And a B-Witch, yeah.
So we could call regular Witch A-Witch. And now this card is called Witch's Hut. And opportunity lost.
Yeah.
Like, big fail there. Also, big disappointment.
Like, you wouldn't even have to call it, like, B-Witch. You could do it B-Witch.
And yeah, like then, the like, verb, B-Witch.
Nice
yeah.
Little in-joke there. Oh, it's B-Witch and C-Witch and A-Witch.
So now I could switch off. I could do the whole witch switch, calling regular witch just a witch or medium witch. You know?
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
Or you could call it a medium witch.
Ugh.
Because it is a medium witch.
I don't know how I feel about that. The time would have to just come up perfectly. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that.
Great.
I think +4 cards, discard 2 is... I mean, it's pretty decent. Like, Embassy is just – it's a solid card for a good amount of decks. And +4 cards, discard 2 is just about there. And it doesn't have the downside that you have to give your opponent a silver when you gain it. So
Yeah.
So, I mean, already I think we're starting from a decent point.
Attack.
Yeah, the attack. So, like, I've played a few games with this card, and the first one, I definitely fell on my face just trying to get this stupid thing to work and discard 2 actions.
Yeah.
And, you know, that felt bad. But, you know, if you're going to draw a good portion of your deck, and you're going to use this to do it, then, like, there's a decent chance you're going to have actions to discard along the way that you can potentially redraw into, like payload actions or whatever. And, you know, give your opponent some junks. Or at some point, you're going to be greening and the curses are not going to be as relevant because it's the end of the game. Or, you know, maybe they're out and now you're discarding provinces or, you know, whatever else, curses that you got. I don't think it's nearly as good as Witch. And I think that's good for the game, as I talked about before with the junking attacks. Like, I think this is one of the neatest design junking attacks that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think it gives you crunchy decisions. Like, ooh, do I want to discard this action, these action cards that I could potentially play and make my turn better just to give out a curse? I love the crunchiness. And I think it's halfway decent. I gave this a 7 out of 10.
And I gave it a 5 out of 10. I think you're not going to want to discard two actions very often. I think the situation you're talking about where you're basically discarding junk, like, oh, I'm discarding province or whatever anyway, I think that's going to come up probably not most of the time, but a significant percentage of the time.
It's going to be good, I think, a lot. Yeah.
I think discarding... So I've played one game with this card, and I got a bunch of lackeys, and then I was over terminal because I got a bunch of lackeys, and I discarded the lackeys to this, and it was pretty good.
Nice.
But I don't think that's going to be super common. I think usually you don't want to discard your action cards because you want to play your action cards. You want to discard other cards.
I think you have to have a good sense of how important that junking is to do at each phase of the game when the option is presented to you. Sure. And before that phase in the game, when you're building your deck to maybe give yourself that option more of the time, if that's something that you have decided that you want.
Yeah, I don't dislike the design. I think in terms of a 5-cost draw card, it's on the weaker side.
Oh, boy. I mean, it's no Smithy, but still.
Did I say 4-cost draw card?
You did say 5, but I did compare it to Smithy.
Okay, great. I thought I said 4 even before you said Smithy. So.
Oh, rip.
So, I mean, obviously it's super contextual and whatever. Maybe there isn't another one around. This only nets you... Right,
moat level,
one
yeah.
Size, right?
Same with Embassy, right? It's
same with
moat
Embassy,
plus some filtering, yeah.
It gives you some selection, but like if I'm trying to draw my deck with this as the primary draw,
see, that's a big difference. I think there is some disagreement here. I think Witch's Hut is fine there because you're going to be junking them along the way.
But I don't think you're going to be junking them that often. I think that is most of the difference, is that you think that the junking is going to come up more than me.
Well, I think in that particular case, the junking is like at its best. When you want to draw like your whole deck with this thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
I think the junking attack is a reason to push you in there.
I think that is at least approximately true. Yeah.
But you don't want to give it a 7. And,
no.
You know, that's fine. I get it.
I don't know.
I think this is going to be one of those cards that's underestimated at first, like Black Cat. And people are going to realize, oh, crap. Just because junking isn't done, like, immediately and all of the time doesn't mean that it isn't good and doesn't mean that I, don't have to play around it. Like, yeah, you definitely do. I think I gave Black Cat a pretty strong rating when it first started, but it was above the community's perception. I predict something similar will happen with Witch's Hut.
Okay. I think Black Cat is a lot stronger than this card because it's so much cheaper. And I think the situation you talked about where, like, I agree with you that the junking is particularly potent in that case. I just also think that discarding your action cards is also more painful in that case.
It definitely has the potential to be that way.
So, I mean, you just have to see, and to some extent, this is the problem with ratings anyway, right? Because this is a lot of our disagreements is like, well, but how often does this scenario come up? Which is something you have to worry about when you're talking about ratings, but in an actual game, who cares? Does it come up on now in front of me or not?
Yeah. Having the tools to know that is more important than a number, right?
Right. You need to be able to figure out like when it's good as opposed to calculate what percentage of games will it be good, which is...
I don't care.
Right, which is why I also, don't care about the ratings. But, they're a nice place for discussion.
Well, yeah, it helped start this discussion, and we had a discussion isolated where I think we disagree.
Yeah.
And that was productive, and hopefully you like listening to it on this podcast about a card game.
Speaking of card game,
yeah,
I got a bunch more cards out of this card game.
Yeah, so we talked about IG and Nomad Camp and Embassy. Embassy did nothing wrong.
I know, right? That was so... Before the preview started, I looked at the set and I'm like, man, I could see like half these cards going in the set, right? Yeah. But none of those half the cards was Embassy. I'm like, Embassy's safe.
I don't know. I don't understand what Embassy did that was so offensive. Like, I just... I'm really baffled by it. Like, it's not something that I'm necessarily going to miss, but I'm just looking at cards that made it.
Right.
Like, well, Margrave. Right.
Like, if you look at Witch's Hut as a replacement for Embassy, I'm not saying, like, oh, Witch's Hut is a worse design than Embassy. Like, I don't know.
They're different cards. I think the connection is pretty loose, yeah.
It's just different. Whatever. It's fine. Yeah. It's not like, oh, I'm super sad about this change. I just, like, if I was looking at cards to get rid of, like, did we need the change? If I'm looking at cards to get rid of, Embassy is not on my list.
Yeah. It's the fact that there are so few direct replacements. Like, look, Embargo, I would be bummed to see that card leave, and I would be questioning it. Yeah. But it just got reworked, and now there's a different version of it that I think is probably – I mean, it's probably better for the game, and it makes more sense. Okay, fine. I'm not sad about that. I think that was a positive change for the game for the most part. I really think it was.
They didn't rework Cash.
Right. This one doesn't really have very many direct reworks. Like, the only one, the Embassy with Witch's Hut was kind of tenuous, and then, like, IG with the Cauldron, I think that was tenuous, too. The only one was Nomads and Nomad Camp, which, like, right. Cool, I guess. But, like, the rest of the... So, like, the comparison is no longer, like, Embargo versus Blockade. Yeah. The comparison is the best card that they cut versus the worst card that they added. And I'm looking at Embassy, and I'm looking at Nomads, and I'm like, you made Dominion worse. Don't add Nomads. Keep Embassy. Easy. Why did you do this? Dominion is better now. Like, that's such an easy decision to question. And I could do it. I could probably do it again. I mean, look, Silk Road. Silk fucking Road is right here. This game doesn't have enough victory cards in it. Why did you cut one? And, like, I'm really, really trying to say that, like, okay, Donald wants to rework Silk Road. He wants to put out a new version of it, but he can't do it in this set because of cardboard restrictions.
Yeah.
And it's going to come out later. But, like, I need to see the next Dominion set with an extra victory card than what would normally be there. And also have it be similar to Silk Road, or else I'm like full nerd rage right here.
Yeah,
sorry. You should talk. I'm
less in the nerd rage because it's, I don't know, it's a card game, whatever.
It's just that, like, if I didn't have fucking cancer, I could have been around for this discussion and spoke out against this stuff. And I would have been listened to just as much with Coppersmith or – I'm raging again. I'm sorry. I would have been listened to just as much as I was with Coppersmith and Counting House. But at least I will have the satisfaction of knowing that, like, I did what I could. And I spoke out and I can say, look, I told you so. I can't do that with – Silk Road is dead. Just like Harambe died. Okay, it's gone. We will never get it back. And I wasn't there to do anything about it. Not that I could have.
So, but like all of the cards that they got rid of, all of them, there were things, maybe not Nomad Camp. Nomad Camp was whatever. But the rest of them, like there's at least some situations where I really enjoyed. A lot of them were kind of marginal.
Not Duchess. I've never enjoyed that card.
Oh, man. I know you don't because the art freaks you out.
I cannot get past the art.
Yeah. But like I thought so. Going back to when I was like, oh, they're going to make a second edition. It's like, well, they're probably going to get rid of Duchess because everyone thinks it does nothing. But I was hoping they were going to replace it with like another. You get it for free with Duke. Like, or with Duchy rather.
Yeah, like a card you get for free. Like that would have been cool.
Right, so like, oh, when you get a duchy, you get, I don't know, something else, like a pile of three cards that will give you a money and a victory point or something.
When you do a thing, you gain this. It doesn't even have to be gain a duchy. Like, there's got to be something there, you know? Although but we got Nomads.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like Mandarin, and it's not Mandarin capital because that doesn't excite me. But
it should. You know, that's a tier one combo.
Like, it's incredibly strong, but it doesn't excite me. It's just kind of like boring.
I'm not going to miss that combo, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not strong. I'm saying it's not fun.
Mandarin was also part of some infinite loops. Storyteller Capitalism Mandarin had an infinite loop thing going on. And
I don't miss any of that stuff. What I do miss is like, oh, well, I need to make sure that these treasures stay, or it's tactically good for me to make sure that these treasures stay on top of my deck for next turn. And like, that's not a big deal. But it came up sometimes. I won some games because of it, and I felt really good.
I love narrow cards, or like tactically narrow cards, like Counting House in some situations. But like other cards that, like, they don't have to be good, but they can be narrow, and you can find a place to use them and feel good. And like
Oracle.
Mandarin is definitely one of those. But like, I would rather keep a card like Mandarin, barring the infinite loop problem that probably factored into this. I would rather keep a card like Mandarin than a card like Margrave.
Yeah.
Margrave's too good.
Oracle, like, I understand why they got rid of Oracle, because, like, there's a lot of, okay, now I need to look at my top two cards, and then I need to look at your top two cards, and then I need to look at player three's top two cards,
and then I have to put them back in a turn.
Like, you know, it's bad in paper because you have to get all the people to do it, and it's bad online because every time you play one, it's worse online because every time you play one,
you have to wait for them to.
And yeah, and they're like, back. You know, I already put these back five times. Do I have to do it a sixth? And like, you do, but whatever. So like, I get why they got rid of that, but the concept of a draw two with some filtering for three. They could have replaced it with a card that had, like, you know, how they replaced Spy with Secret Passage or whatever.
Yeah.
They could have replaced Oracle with some draw two with filtering. Like,
yeah. Draw three, discard one.
Or look at the top four, put two in your hand or whatever. You know?
It really feels, I mentioned this before. I mean, this one, like, sure, I'm not going to miss a lot of these except for Silk Road, and I think Embassy is a big WTH here.
Yeah.
But, like, it just feels like what we're getting is, I don't know. I feel like you didn't need to do all nine of these.
Grades to me.
Some, it's just that the best cards that we lost are better than the worst cards that we gained. And that feels bad. Nomads, exciting. I don't think I'm missing anything here. It's
look
a fucking woodcutter.
Look at this noble brigand. I mean, he is like the noblest of brigands. Am I right?
I was a little sad when this particular brigand of the noble variety went, but like,
it doesn't bother me so much because they've replaced.
It's fine.
Like, it's the upgrade to the upgrade to thief, which then got its own upgrade in bandit or whatever.
Yeah. I like the idea that Noble Brigand could make you push away from money, but I don't know. I mean, Bandit seems like the way to go, even though it doesn't push you away from money. And
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So, like, because there was already kind of a replacement for this, you know, 4 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Sure. Cash. Cash Trader. Why is Trader still around?
I mean, I think it's fine.
I mean,
I would rather have Silk Road than Trader, but
I would rather have Silk Road than Trader. I'd rather have Embassy than Trader.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Oracle than Trader. I'd rather have Ink than Trader. Well, whatever. I know Ink isn't
very popular. Disagree with those last two.
I'm a big Ink lover, but
the game's better without Ink. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
Trader is like so.
Yeah, but it's maybe it's weak, but I think it's fine for the game.
Next on the chopping block, Harvest.
I don't know what's going to happen with those expansions. I've sort of kept away from it, at least for the time being. I don't know what's going on there, but like,
I did use Harvest to some effect the other day.
I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, I was like, I got to the end of the game and was like, well, I've got this harvest. I need you to do good for me. Hey, it made me 4 money and I bought the last province.
Ooh, nice.
The one time I drew the harvest.
So that probably feels good.
It felt pretty good, yeah.
Nice.
So there are also a whole bunch of errata that are coming.
We alluded earlier.
Like a lot of stuff, the WoW and play stuff is basically going away. So everything is pretty much thrownable now.
It's fine. Highway and Bridge Stroll are thrownable, and I think that's a big deal. Everything else is pretty minor.
There are some other changes, like now if you workshop a port, you get another one. I'm not going to go through the whole list. There's some other stuff. You should try to be aware of them.
Read the card.
If you play online, they actually did a nice thing where first time you play a game with an errata card, it pops up a thing and says, hey, this card got an errata. So it like prompts you to actually read the card so you're not like blindsided by, hey, whoa, what?
Yeah, hashtag blindside.
So that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
I would like to take this opportunity to complain because so many cards have been getting erratas. And
yeah.
I mean, I know times have changed in the past 3 years. The world is a different place than it was the last 3 years. And board games are in a different place, too.
It moved like a small angle around the galaxy.
Oh, well, I suppose that's also true. Although, how do you define an absolute location in a... Anyway.
In a different place.
What I was really talking about is like playing games in person. I mean, that's something I've done 2 times in the past 3 years, and I've had to take a lot of precautions in order to do so. And online gaming, especially online versions of tabletop games, have gotten more popular. And, you know, overall, I'd say that's probably more good for Dominion than bad. But I'm in sort of a unique situation where I still want to run competitive IRL tournaments. And the fact that there are so many cards where you just can't buy the most recent printed version of it is going to be a problem because I'm hosting a tournament at Gen Con.
Printed.
Yeah, I'm hosting a tournament at Gen Con in a month. Hashtag link in the description. Go play in it if you're going to Gen Con. I'm hosting that, and I don't want people to come up to me and be like, hey, this card that you have in front of me, that's not what I'm used to playing online, and that's the current state of the game. And now I have to figure out all these cards that are errated and, you know, what to do about each of them if I decide to include them in kingdoms, how to generate kingdoms potentially around them. It's an absolute nightmare for me. And there's really no recourse that I have. And it was a conscious decision made by Mr. XV to push the game in a way, like make these more aggressive erratas that are going to align with future printings that aren't happening, but can take place online immediately.
I'm also anti-errata. I think it leads to a lot of confusion.
With people playing the printed.
Sure, but even not, because like some of the interactions, like even online, some of the interactions are a little bit tricky. People get confused. They don't know what's going to happen, right? They ask whatever. Sometimes you can't figure it out from reading the cards, because why is the rules this way? Because somebody asked a guy online and he was like, seems like it should be that. And that's the rule. Yeah. And like, okay, so that's not great to start with. But then those rules change because there's erratas. And like, how are you supposed to keep track? I've had this conversation where we're like, I'm spectating a game online and somebody makes some suggestion and somebody else is like, haven't you been? No, that's not what would happen. Haven't you been, you know, aren't you keeping up with the rules?
Have you been on the forums?
It's like, no, I'm not keeping up with the rules. I have other things to do.
I just
want to
play a game, man.
And it changed every couple weeks. Like, I don't...
Back in the before times, you could just read the instruction book once and then play your game. And now that we're playing it on a computer, the rules can change at any time. And, like, sure, there's a lot of positives to that. But, like, this game that I started playing in 2011 wasn't that game. And that was one of the reasons that I kind of preferred tabletop games over computer games. And as someone in my unique position that I put myself in, it's just really hard to have something with like legitimate competitive integrity that takes place with physical cards. It's just a nightmare. Do I think the errata make the game better? I don't know. Probably.
I think there is a real – I guess my point is whether the new version of the card is better than the old version, there is a real cost to the change.
Yes.
And I think that in the big majority of the situations, the cost of the change is bigger than whatever improvement you're getting on the new wording.
I'll agree with that, yeah.
And so I don't keep up with all the rules or whatever, and it's just like roll into stuff sometimes and oh well. And in the words of a great poet, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that!
It also is annoying because, like, I've worked really hard to make sure the content of this podcast is evergreen, meaning that something you listened to 100 episodes ago is not going to be just outright wrong because we talk about things in a general enough sense that, you know, we're not going to be wrong based on new cards and new expansions being released or whatever. And
when you said evergreen, I thought you meant that the content was all about victory cards.
Well, there's less victory cards in the game now.
RIP.
I miss you, Harambe. I mean, Silk Road. I miss both of you.
Kids today, man, they just don't get it.
Did nothing wrong. Anyway, there was a lot of complaining in this podcast, and a lot of people have been complaining at Donald X about some stuff. And you know what? I think the things we complained about are worth complaining about. I think some of the other stuff may not be, but now you've listened to it, you also know what you think, what we think of these cards.
Yeah.
And it's funny when I get mad, so I hope you like that too.
Yeah, I'll steal this from someone else too. There's a Magic streamer that I watch sometimes, and
LSD?
Whenever there's a new set out, whenever there's a new set out, there is a command in his Twitch chat that's new set, and all it is it says it's a new set. Wow, it's fine.
I mean, there's new cards.
That's kind
of
my
new
feeling.
Cards. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with them.
It's fine. I do want to give a slight update.
Oh,
from
yeah?
Last episode.
Let's hear it.
We had a big disagreement about Crystal Ball.
Oh, yeah?
I've played a few more games with Crystal Ball.
Yeah?
My opinion has gone up. Certainly not near 8, but I'd probably give it like a 4 now.
I could possibly get down to a 7 at this time. I mean, this isn't the time or place to argue about it, and I don't want to argue about it with you right now, but like...
That was all the update I was going to give.
Yeah.
I think I'm up to a 4.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, a 4 seems like justifiable.
We're slowly converging to a place where we're still pretty far apart.
Nice. Making luck.
A slow convergence to disagreement.
Podcast. leave a comment in the comment section. Don't know when we're going to have another one of these, but...
probably when the next set comes out in 2 weeks.
Who knows?
2 months.
Who knows?
Whenever it is.
But yeah, thanks for listening. Hope you listen to more. Hope I live long enough to make more of these.
Hope I live long enough to make more of these.
That would be really great. I'd appreciate if you did that.
I'd appreciate it too.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Ciao. I mean, it's not a sandwich.
Well, not everything can be. I mean, this is the greatest country on earth, and in the greatest country on earth, it's tough to make it. In case you couldn't tell, I was being sarcastic. My wife and I are hoping to move to like Denmark or something pretty soon. Although we've been considering some of the other Scandinavias, maybe like Germany. I don't know, Germany could be nice.
Germany's not Scandinavia, but it's Denmark adjacent.
Yeah, I mean,
it's something literally Denmark adjacent. It's the only country which is Denmark bordering.
You said that in a way that makes me think that you're not certain of that fact.
Should well, I look it up? No, it's I'm certain of the fact. I just feel like there should be a different word besides the word bordering there.
Oh, you mean like border village?
Like no, the like card I from to the Hinterland expansion.
Welcome to Making Luck, a Dominion podcast.
Yeah.